There's one. Set for stun.
Three guys sitting in a dark room that smells like bad cucumbers.
Don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
Inconceivable!
Now featuring 11. 11 listeners.
This is me.
Engage.
You slimy scumbag, get on your face and give me 25.
This is the Unique Geek.
And welcome to another edition of the Unique Geeks 50 Days at Dragon Con, the Love Boat edition with your captain, Isaac.
Isaac has now been upgraded to captain. But
yes,
hey, it looks like it might be shifting to the west a little.
Of course, you recognize that beautiful voice. That's Lee. Lee, how you doing?
Hi. I'm good. I hope everybody who is in Isaac's path will be safe and sound. And that, yes, you might be delayed a little bit, but you'll still be at con. That's what we're hoping for.
It doesn't look like it's going to be too terribly...
No, it's only a cat one is what they're saying. So
well, it might
good.
Make a land as a cat two, but quickly go down to a tropical storm. It's not,
okay.
You know. So right. Hopefully, you know, there's that. Before we get started, of course, we are recording this. How many days out, Lee? It's Sunday before con.
It's the Sunday before con, so we're really 5 days out.
So, there we
wow.
go. So let me play this for you real quick. We got this in the voicemail over at SpeakPipe. Hold on.
Okay.
Hey, guys. My name is Chris Baker. This will be my fifth year going to Dragon Con. I just want to say thanks for doing this podcast. It's really great. Every year beforehand, leading up to Dragon Con, I always listen to it. Just listen to the Con Suite episode, which I am 100% certain by the time I get to the con, I will not find it. I think I know where it is. I've committed it to memory, but not once in 5 years have I made it there. So hopefully I make it this year. So just once again, thanks for being awesome and really appreciate it. Can't wait to see you guys at Dragon Con.
So, Chris, just so you know,
you are, awesome. Hi, Chris.
Me and you are in the same boat. Did I go? You said I went last year, but I don't recall
yes,
going last
we
year.
We went on Thursday night so you can meet when he was setting up.
Did I?
Yes.
Are you sure?
I'm positive.
Okay. All right. I mean, is there any proof of that? Any sort of scientific proof that I was there?
You know, John, you know, I am not a scientist. I'm really not. But I did not keep up with a scientific record or you know, do an experiment or make a log of it. I guess I will this year so for remember. But, you know, I think if I need to know how to do that in a scientific way, we can talk to our guest today who is doing that, who is the science director at Dragon Con, the science track director, and this is Drew. How you doing, Drew?
Hello, I'm doing fine. How are you?
You're doing fine. I'm good. I cannot believe it's 5 days.
Frantically.
And when do you get in?
Go ahead.
Because when do you get in?
I'll be getting into Atlanta sometime on Tuesday. We'll do our final running around and prep work outside the con all day Wednesday. Hopefully get a good night's sleep, and then we'll be there from Thursday morning on, setting up and having fun.
Yeah, I will be. My con starts basically Wednesday, just like you. So, yeah, safe travels. So this is good. Yeah, it's kind of hard. So what exactly is Science Track? What do you guys do? What is your mission and vision and goals? No, I'm joking. Sorry, I've been doing work this morning.
No problem. We put the science in science fiction. We enjoy everything else at Dragon Con, of course, but we kind of like to put out there that the science behind the sci-fi and the fantasy and everything else that we enjoy so much can be just as fun and just as interesting. So we bring in working scientists and makers, as in, you know, hacker, maker type people, and there's a lot of overlap between us and the Skeptics track, EFF track, and Space track, which kind of makes sense since I've been involved with all those other tracks to an extent as well.
Cool. So, what kind of events will you have this year? What's the what's your biggest event? Let's put it that way.
Our biggest one is probably going to be the Evil Geniuses for a Better Tomorrow 10th Anniversary Mega Mayhem and Destructo Fest. which will be in the Sheraton Capitol Ballroom Saturday at 2:30 p.m. And that's going to be our first demo of our actual real, yes, it's working, it's real, nuclear fusion reactor built by a 16-year-old out of parts bought off eBay. What could possibly go wrong? Fun for the whole family. Bring your kids.
That scares the bejesus out of me, because I got a 13-year-old who's going to be like, I wonder if I can make one.
Well, that is kind of the point. The subtext here for Science Track is mad science. And, you know, I freely admit we're all evil. So, you know, just keep that in mind when you come to our events.
Thanks, Drew.
You're quite welcome. Shall I go into detail of my long-term plot to get a furry track of programming at Dragon Con just because it's evil?
Nice. Please don't, because someone might actually pick that up and run with it. So.
Well, that's the hope, but, you know, maybe I shouldn't tell you about my secret long-term plots. You can edit that out in post-production, right?
Sure. We edit everything here. Not one bit.
Yeah.
Right. I trust you.
Yeah, well, nobody listens, but, you know, like 4 or 5 people is what we hear.
So, I mean, seriously,
okay.
So, seriously, it's working? It's functional?
Yeah. We had it here last year, and I found out at the dead dog party that most of the staff who'd heard about it thought this was just another Science Track joke. They didn't think we were serious. So that kind of caused some freakouts when I said, no, it's a real working nuclear reactor. Would you like to see pictures we took of it here? And there's a video camera that's hooked up to a port in the containment chamber, so we can actually project images of the fusion reaction taking place on a video projector screen about 8 feet high. It looks really cool.
I got to ask, so this is completely legal?
Yeah.
It just seems like that should not be, even figured out by a 16-year-old. And it reminds me of some movie I might have seen in the past. I don't know. It just seems like that shouldn't be happening.
Here's your science lesson for the day, and I'll make it brief and painless.
Okay, good.
This is a fusion reaction, not a fission reaction. There are two types of nuclear reactions. Fission is the stuff that takes place in commercial nuclear power plants, and that's where you've got uranium and plutonium and the big heavy elements at the bottom of the periodic table. You're splitting them apart to generate energy. And it's a messy process. That's where your radioactive junk comes from. That's where you can have incidents like, Three Mile Island and Fukushima and brain fart here, I'm getting older, the one in Russia.
Chernobyl.
Thank you. Yes. That's where you get those type of incidents. Fusion is, yes, it's a nuclear process, but you're taking the lighter elements, usually the lightest from the periodic table, hydrogen, and in some cases helium, depending on your reaction, and you're jamming them together. This is the process by which the sun burns, by which all stars burn.
Right.
And it's a much cleaner reaction. And unlike fission reactions, if you have a problem with your reactor, in fission reactions, you've still got these radioactive materials, usually in close proximity to each other, that are exciting each other and continuing to be hot and radioactive, and that's where you get your problems.
Right.
If you have a problem with a fusion reactor, it just shuts down. And the base working fuel for this particular one is deuterium, which is essentially hydrogen, which, you know, part of water, H2O, and it's just a hydrogen isotope that's got an extra neutron. You can drink it. It's safe.
Okay, so then, of course, as you're saying all that, it kind of came back to me from science class years ago. But let me ask you this then, and this is kind of way off topic at this point, but why are we going with fission instead of fusion? Is there cost prohibit?
That is a very good question, and I will tell you why. Philo Farnsworth, you may want to look him up online, is the guy who invented the fuser, which is the basis for this type of fusion reactor that Chad Rainey, our science genius, is bringing in. He also is credited in a lot of places with the invention of television back in the 1930s. And at that time, the governments of the world thought that fusion reactors were going to replace fossil fuels. Hence, a lot of the stuff in the 40s after the Cold War and the early 50s, the atom is your friend, you know, those early Disney films, and, safe, clean, power too cheap to meter. And what they found was that the fusion reactors they were using at the time, they didn't scale up. The larger ones simply would not produce energy. They actually used more than they produced, and they became impractical. And that's why they went with fission. And, current efforts at fusion reactors use different designs, like the with the Tokamak reactors, which are running at a couple $1 billion and still experimental phase, blah, blah, blah. But an interesting thing about the old-style fusion reactors is that they were made with materials that we had back in the 1930s and 40s. Material science has advanced. We've got higher temperature superconductors. We've got much more powerful magnets. We've got cheap lasers now. And these older-style fusion reactors are beginning to make a comeback in the experimenter circuit, and they're getting a lot more power out of them. So they may actually, with a few more advances in technology, become practical, and we'll get that power too cheap to meter fusion reactor safe nuclear energy everywhere and type stuff they were advertising 70, 80 years ago. Just see what happens.
This is all brilliant and fascinating stuff, and so this is the kind of stuff you heady guys over at the Science Track talk about all day?
Pretty much. Just to let you know, Evil Geniuses, that's going to be our fun show off. We're mad scientists. Ha, ha, ha. This is a mad science fair event.
Right.
We usually have one kind of pseudo-serious talk a day. The serious one will be later that day at 8:30 in the Hyatt, Hanover, C, D, and E. And Chad will have the fusion reactor there, and he'll go into a lot more of the technical, serious technical details, tell people how they can get involved if they're interested in this type of project. There's actually fusor.net is the site you would want to go to for amateur nuclear energy and amateur nuclear reactors. They've actually got a list of people who built these things around the world. And it's a good maker, do-it-yourself community. You can get lots of help from folks who've already built them. And he'll be talking about that. He'll also be talking about his summer internship at NASA.
Wow.
Cool.
Nice. Oh, and
cool,
by the way, we should mention, too, is that unfortunately yesterday we did lose an American icon and hero, Neil Armstrong. So
yeah.
If you hadn't heard by now.
Yeah. Lorraine, the space track director, called me up, and she was very upset.
Yeah.
So we talked about that. It was a sad day.
Yeah.
Well, it's a sad day also because, you know, there is just something about the idea of being somebody who walked on the moon. And the first one, I don't know, it just kind of hit me too yesterday. I got very teary. And I'm like, I wasn't even around when it was on TV, but I got very, very teary. So, and every time I ever heard him talk, I was always amazed. So
the Apollo guys are all getting on up there in years. We had Dick Gordon, who went up on Apollo 12 here a few years back, and he absolutely... Unfortunately, he was a late add. He wasn't in the pocket program. We got him in the Daily Dragon, so we weren't able to pull as many people in as we would like. I believe he was also scheduled opposite the parade. But
I remember that now. Yes.
Fantastic talk, and love to have him back. Lorraine is getting some astronauts this year, finally. Yay, and she's ecstatic about that.
Yeah, that is awesome. So what other tracks do you... Well, actually, let's go back to your history. How did you wind up as the director of the Science Track?
I've been a guest in previous years, I think from about 1997 up to 2002, and my main involvement was with the EFF track. In fact, I helped start that.
Mm-hmm.
I and several other friends, back in the 90s, I got involved with a hacker group, and I used the word hacker in the original non-criminal sense of the word.
Thank you.
Called 2600, and you can check out their website, podcasts, and stuff, 2600.com. And my first DragonCon, actually, let me back up a little bit, had been 1995. I came for the events on the Space and Science Track. I remember cyberpunk author and mathematician Rudy Rucker was a guest, and he gave several very cool talks. John Shirley, who was another cyberpunk author and musician, was here. I met him, just had a really good time, and was contacted by, I think, the previous EFF track director, not the current one, Scott Jones. But there wasn't an EFF track at the time. The interweb and computers and hackers and all that stuff was hot news at the time, and they wanted to start some programming relevant to it with DragonCon. So I and the other hacker kids up in Nashville and some down in Atlanta started organizing an EFF track of programming, and a lot of the events that we started out with that very first year when we only had four panels, the entire convention, are still going on. Hacking 101, Hacking 201, Hacking 301. And as I said, I was involved with it from 97 to 2002, doing mainly the computer and internet stuff. And unfortunately, the Science Track, which was space and science time. It was just one track of programming. It was kind of shrinking, dying off. The previous track director had moved across the country, and he was finding it harder and harder to be involved with the convention because he was on the other side of the country. So I think it was, leading up to 2003. In 2002, I think science had only had about 5 panels the entire convention, and they were thinking of eliminating the track.
Ooh.
And David Gordon, he thought, well, you know, this is kind of bad. He's our senior programming director, and we definitely want to have a space and science track, if possible, at one of the biggest sci-fi cons around. And he started trying to figure out who might be able to take it over, and I guess he heard good things about me. All true, of course. Anything bad is just malicious lies spread by my enemies to sully my reputation.
Of course, because they're trying to stop you from your plot for the rest of your longer term plot. So yeah.
I'm evil. It comes with the territory. I just accept this. But he approached me and made the offer, would you like to take it over? I guess mainly because I'd been doing so much of the programming. Yeah, not to take away from Scott Jones. He does a fantastic job, but did a lot of work on the EFF track during the 97 to 2002 years. So brought a lot of people in. So David offered it to me. I said, a director's ribbon, and I don't have to pay to come to the convention anymore. Well, I hadn't been previously actually guest status and all that stuff, but I don't have to pay for a hotel room either. Okay. Not knowing what I was getting into, because we were six weeks out from the convention at that point when I agreed to take it over. And I roped my roommate at the time, Lorraine, into it as my assistant director, and the rest is history. I guess we've done a pretty good job, because we started out over in the Marriott in a little room where I think they put the security office now, would seat about maybe 50 people, and outgrew that, I think, by our second year. But it wasn't until our fifth year that we got moved over to the Hilton, and then they split us into two tracks of programming, and we continue to grow. We even spawned off the Skeptics track a few years ago, and the bastards have got a room that's larger than both space and science put together, and I hate them.
Yeah.
There.
Well,
no, I don't. Derek,
no,
cool.
I know you don't.
I envy his success and his organizational abilities, and the professional audio video crew comes in and records everything he does. I want one of those.
Yeah. Well, I have a professional audio video that records some of my stuff. It's called John.
I would not A, call me professional, B.
Well that's
it. I just wouldn't call him professional.
That is true. Yeah, that is true. So, no, I'm joking. Okay, so while you're going to be very, very busy on your track, we all know that, but is there anything else you're looking forward to and going, oh, I really hope I get to see that outside of your track, whether it's in the Marriott or, oh, my God, it might even be something, you know, fictiony?
I tend to hang out in the reality wing, as they call us, the second floor over in the Hilton, because that's where they put Space Science Skeptics, EFF, and podcasting. I'm interested in seeing some more of the robotics stuff this year, now that they've kind of expanded to robotics / maker stuff. But at the same time, as the convention grows and we get more tracks of programming, I naturally have more and more people honing in on my turf. You know, I can't do space stuff exclusively anymore. The internet has been taken away by the EFF track and spawned off Skeptics, so there goes all of my debunking stuff. Apocalypse Rising and science, we get into occasional turf wars since we both enjoy the end of the world. Now the robotics people are doing more do-it-yourself maker stuff, so I may have to blow them up. I don't know.
Well, now I am curious, who is in charge of Skynet? Would it be you, EFF, or robotics?
Who's in charge of what? Pardon me?
Skynet. Which one of you guys are developing Skynet? Yeah.
It's kind of a protracted war right now. I mean, EFF considers that their turf, and they've got the hackers on there, but, you know, they're the software folks. We provide the hardware, so it kind of goes back and forth.
Yeah, you can't...
There's this whole secret underground war power struggle going on over in the reality wing for control and domination of the world. By the way, I'm very proud of the fact that a few years ago, we did have Mike Lynn, L-Y-N-N, look up Mike Lynn and the word Cisco, C-I-S-C-O, up on the internet, and he's the uber hacker. When I think hacker, he's the guy, I think, that guy, number one hacker. he figured out how to pretty much destroy the internet on a more or less permanent basis in about 15 minutes back in 2005. He consults for the Pentagon now. They fly him out there from San Francisco a few times a year to tell them what's going on in the interweb and intelligence community and keep them informed on the bad guy hacker sphere.
Oh, I remember this. I just looked him up, and I was reading through the Cisco the section Wikipedia, which is always right. If not, you know, we'll make it right. Sure. Yeah, I remember this because you know I too am in IT and concerned about these kind of things. And So he had been he'd been at the convention at one point?
Yeah, actually, we were roommates.
In
2002, 2003. Yeah,
okay.
Small world. And,
yeah.
He's gone on to greatness and very scary stuff. So I'd love to have him back at the con, but of course, he can't talk about any of the Cisco stuff at all. So,
wow.
Lawyers, damn them.
Yeah.
So, I've heard rumors that can be neither confirmed or denied that he did cost Cisco a few billion dollars. So I find that rather amusing, having spent many frustrating hours wondering why the hell something on a router I'm trying to get working properly would not work.
Mm. Wow.
Is that unusual to spend hours wondering why something doesn't damn work? Okay. I'm just making sure that isn't unusual.
When you've got decades of bug fixes on top of patches, on top of kludges, on top of software that was originally written by some organization that was bought out by some other organization, decades ago, then yeah.
You know, there was a thing that went around. I forget who put it out, but it was earlier this year. Basically, trying to explain how packets work, and how the miracle is just that any of this stuff works at all. Really, when you think about it,
yeah.
It's amazing that I'm even talking to you right now.
I will say though, this is just as a satisfied customer, and they're not paying me to say this at all. I love Juniper's hardware. Their stuff, because it's based on FreeBSD,
mm-hmm.
if you know Unix at all, you can hit the ground running. And Mike Lynn also worked for Juniper after Cisco Gate, all that stuff happened. And he went in as a security engineer and audited their software from the ground up and then taught their software engineers how to write secure code from the ground up. So very, very cool stuff. Fun to work with.
Oh, it is. It's fascinating. But yeah, so let's jump back to your track again real quick.
Back to computers. Yeah.
Back to
science. Yeah.
Science! Sorry.
Science! Stand back. I'm doing science. Yep.
Yes.
All right. So what are some of the other panels that you have this year that you would like to highlight?
Well, I'm glad you asked. We actually try to have, per request, some kid-safe programming every year, stuff that parents can actually bring their precious darlings to.
My first nuclear reactor.
that's in our evil panel. we've got I'm checking my schedule here. Where'd it go? Yeah, I wasn't able to. I usually try to get these things for the 10 a.m., 11:30 a.m. time slots. I wasn't able to get all of them in those slots like I enjoy. But we've got, Saturday, 8:30 p.m., Beyond the Baking Soda Volcano. We've got an actual educator / scientist who's going to teach the little darlings how to do interesting, low-cost, and non-destructive science experiments in the home with simple and safe things you can find around the home. So that should be fun.
Awesome. Thank you. And I will send my child there because I think we have a science project again this year.
Ah, cool. I've got the Atlanta Radio Club is doing some fun stuff for me. They'll be giving on Friday at 7 o'clock kind of an intro to ham radio, up and down the dial, it's called, what you can hear on the various bands, and we'll be listening to state, local, and even Dragon Con radio traffic. And then for the Night Owls on Saturday night, 10 o'clock until they get tired of doing it. Atlanta Radio Club people will be doing an up and down the dial field trip. We'll have a bunch of radio gear set up in the science track room, and there'll also be some mobile units going out and picking up and scanning stuff. And I believe there's a scavenger hunt list they put together, so that should be fun. Monday, for folks who will not be frantically trying to check out of the hotels at the time, we've got some professional educators who are giving a talk at 11:30 a.m. over in the Marriott, 601-602, called What If Starfleet Academy Ran Our K-12 Schools, a Science Education Panel. So,
oh, that would be awesome.
That should be kind of interesting. What else we got here? Oh, yeah, let me smack myself on the head here. Also Monday at 10 a.m., using real science data in your classroom or club. Again, Dr. Pamela Gay, who's doing our baking soda volcanoes. Do you work with kids? Do you want to be part of NASA science? Come to this workshop and learn how you and your kids can explore our solar system. So, poaches on space track a little bit, but I've learned that if I want to do something that would normally be the territory of another track, I just tack the science of in whatever I want to call the panel, and therefore I can legitimately
awesome.
Claim it's mine. Yeah.
Stay guy. Yeah. Cool. Works for us.
Now, if I may ask, outside of science, what is your and obviously computers, what is your area of geekitude? Would you if you were to hang out in any other track besides the real science tracks, real life stuff, where would you hang out?
Probably the classic sci-fi track.
Oh, okay.
Programming.
Sweet.
And stalk the vendors' rooms, dealers' rooms. Wander around and people watch. It's been a lot of my activity in previous years. So on the science fiction fantasy side, I'm a big fan of Roger Zelazny and H.P. Lovecraft. Get horror in there as well.
Nice.
So any programming related to that, I tend to check out. What else? Amateur astronomer, since I was a little kid. I can thank Star Trek for sparking my interest in that. Although I moved on from Star Trek rather quickly to Isaac Asimov's actual science books. For some reason, I never really got into his science fiction. Didn't like most of his science fiction. So I tended to pick up a lot of the science books by the classic sci-fi authors, mainly Asimov and Clark. Looking at my bookshelf here, got a lot of Carl Sagan, of course, Richard Feynman, John Barrow, and then just a whole section of random space, NASA, exploration, science type stuff. Computers, artificial intelligence, life extension, mathematics, lots of Rudy Rucker for the math stuff. And that's just what I can see from across the room. Plus, I've got several boxes worth of books here. I need to put up some new bookshelves to get all the books out.
You know, it is so hard for me. We have many a bookshelf in this house, and yet we still, now that we have Kindles, we're doing that, but it's still, I like books. I still have books.
Yeah,
so.
I like books too. I like being able to take my collection or as much of it as I can with me in electronic format, but I also like a book. Oh yeah, here we go. Kind of in the miscellaneous section, I've got my prank books, such as Legends of Caltech, More Legends of Caltech, the various MIT prank and hack books, plus a few other sundry titles. I'm a big fan of pranks, and by prank I mean something that's elaborate and funny, kind of awe-inspiring in the how the hell did they do that sense, educational if possible, and non-destructive. Pranks.mit.edu is a good place to start with that. Requires a lot of logical thinking and planning, and that's how you do things like hack into football score signs and have them change things and say things in the middle of a football game with your rival team, Harvard versus MIT, and there's apparently a prank war going on between MIT and Caltech, has been for a couple of years, and last I heard, MIT was ahead because they actually sent an engineering crew out to steal this big ornamental cannon that had been used back in World War II. It was mounted in the middle of the Caltech campus, and MIT somehow made off with it and had a lot of fun sending pictures of the Caltech cannon in various locations and around the world back to Caltech. I don't know if they got the cannon back yet or not.
Nice.
Nice. Okay, so we're getting towards the end of here, but so now we ask you the question, if you could have any three guests at con, and they can be living or dead, but not John, what?
Zombies. Lee doesn't like zombies.
I don't like zombies at con. I like zombies on TV, but not on con. Who
not
would you love to have? And it doesn't have to be for your track, but who would you love to have at con?
Dr. Richard Feynman, Isaac Asimov, because he was such a damn good science writer as well as a science fiction writer. And hell, let's put Einstein in there. I'd love to have a beer with Einstein.
Oh, Einstein would be awesome. I think you'd have a blast at Con too, not just, you know, not just doing the speaking part, but just, he always seemed to me, go ahead.
He strikes me as the kind of guy who would enjoy it. I know Feynman being a prankster himself and a big womanizer would probably dig Dragon Con. So.
Nice. And he's doing science, so, you know, all the nerd girls love that. I'm getting myself in trouble now.
Science is cool, man.
Science is sexy.
Science is sexy. Smarts are sexy. I'm sorry. And that's actually one of the things I love about Dragon Con is because I know that sounds very odd, but we have a lot of smart people that come to Dragon Con. A lot of people that are, you know, they're into science, which I'm not. I was a sociology and a history major, but that's still okay because, you know, there's alternate history and talking about that. And then also just people that are very, very smart. And I have not yet met anyone who comes to Dragon Con who doesn't read, whether it's fiction, nonfiction, a mix of both. And it's always just amazing how we're a pretty bright group. And of course, if any computer goes down over Labor Day weekend, Atlanta's screwed, man, because, you know, nobody's around.
All right. While we've got time, let me real quick and give you a couple other highlights here on the track.
Oh, absolutely.
We're going to start off the science track with the talk about the genetics of ALS. That's our, ALS is our charity that we're giving to this year. So we've got Dr. Bill Gibson here, who will be starting off the science track at 10 a.m. on Friday, actually talking about ALS and what it is, insights for a rare and devastating nerve disease. I think he's working with the charity people, too, and may give this talk a second time before the charity auction. We've got some folks in from DARPA, which is the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency. Your tax dollars at work, that's like the military research people. They're the ones who actually invented the Internet. So, and, you know, no Al Gore jokes. Let's give Al Gore some credit. He did approve the funding for it. So he did help invent the Internet, but it was DARPA who actually built it. We've got the Rocket City Rednecks, who will be here Friday at 11:30, a little bit early, but they'll be there in the Holton Crystal Ballroom. We're calling that one Lights, Cameras, Explosion. It's the Rocket City Rednecks. We've got a gentleman who works at Dobbins Air Force Base on the F-A-22 Raptors, and he can't go into a whole lot of detail about this part. He also is part of Skunk Works, which, ever hear of Groom Air Force Base, Area 51?
Oh, yes, yes.
He's got to give a talk about spy planes and fighters and drones, stuff like that.
Ooh.
And he's going to focus on That one is going to be Friday at 1 o'clock in the Science Track Room. He will be talking about some recently declassified information, including a lot of the counterintelligence we were doing with regards to the SR-71 Blackbird and U-2 spy planes, creating UFO rumors, feeding into that culture, and providing the Soviets with disinformation on the airplane. So that should be fun. We've got a local hackerspace, the Freeside Atlanta hacker community, and my God, they've got incredible facilities. They make me seriously consider moving back to Atlanta just for the huge warehouse space and all the equipment they have. These are hardware hackers on steroids, and they're going to be giving a talk about not just open source software, but open source civilization, open source patents, open source medicine, open source tools, 3D printers, basically creating all this stuff from the ground up in an unencumbered, patent-free, protected environment so everyone has access to the tools. We'll be doing a Hollywood science panel with Dr. Kevin Grazier. He was one of the big wigs on the Cassini program. Cassini's our billion-dollar probe that's out of Saturn right now. And he and a bunch of other science and some Hollywood folks will be discussing about how Hollywood incorporates real-world science into its productions. Excuse me, Dr. Grazier was also the science advisor for Battlestar Galactica. You may have heard of that. We'll have a...
I met him last year, and he's really neat to talk to, guys. You're going to enjoy that one.
He's a fun guy. Yeah, there need to be more people like him involved with Hollywood because he actually kind of gets the writers and the directors who may not have a science background. He'll kind of steer them on the right path going, no, that's really bad. That's ridiculous. That would never work. And granted, for stuff like Battlestar Galactica, we are, you know, giving some exceptions for FTL, but let's think this out in a logical way and not make really stupid Plan 9 from outer space type mistake. Makes it more fun, more plausible, more enjoyable. We always do a big talk on cryonics Friday night, latest update for people who are afraid life extension technology will not kick in soon enough. So, you know, the fallback option is when you die, you cut your head off, freeze it in liquid nitrogen, and hopefully get revived in the future, which is actually not as crazy as it sounds. So come check that out if you disagree. We have a cool one Saturday at 1 o'clock with a woman who will be talking about bacteriophages, which are actually used a lot in Europe and Russia and other parts of the world to fight viral infections. And they were used quite successfully and have been for decades. They tend to be a lot more effective than some of our antibiotics, which are being overused and are breeding superviruses. And using bacteriophages, which are natural and safe, and low cost, would solve a lot of these problems. The reason we don't do it here in the U.S., the drug companies don't want it. So this is an interesting eye-opening talk that I've got a lot of medical people who are coming to check out. And apparently in other parts of the world, you can simply go in and buy your little packet of bacteriophage at the local drugstore for whatever version of flu is running around that year. You take your pill and day or two later, you're fine, you're immunized, you'll never get it again. The bacteriophages attack that particular strain of the flu virus, and it's dead. So, cool stuff. We talked about evil geniuses. Chemical warfare, an introduction. We'll be getting that from a naval scientist. That's Saturday at 4 o'clock. We've got a few death and destruction panels. We'll be talking about the Higgs boson. Did we actually find it? And if so, what's the big deal? People are spending a lot of money on this, so folks who are interested in what the brouhaha is about might want to check that out. We'll be doing another DARPA talk, and also one with a member of the National Science Foundation and financier, venture capitalist from Georgia Tech. Sunday morning, turning sci-fi into reality, who funds the research. We'll have a disaster panel after that that's presented by the CDC and also CNN. They just added some CNN folks to that, too, so that should be fun. Disasters, past, present, and future.
Ooh, that'll be neat.
Ever wonder if the U.S. government is truly prepared to respond to a mass casualty emergency? What if 2, 3, or 4 occur simultaneously? So lots of fun there for you death and destruction fans. We'll have a talk on how to create more deadly influenza, gene hacking there, communications in the post-apocalyptic world from the Atlanta Radio Club folks. What else? We'll be doing an evolution creation debate discussion, update on that. We'll be doing a fission versus fusion talk. From Milton and Bean, the podcast, we're talking about the two different types. We've got a fission scientist and a fusion scientist, and they have told me, I'm going to hold them to this. I will, you know, break out the cattle prod if they don't do this. They have told me that in order to incorporate some wrestling into the event, which I know Pat Henry, our glorious leader, loves wrestling, they have told me they will show up at the very least in Mexican wrestling masks and possibly full Mexican wrestling outfits.
Awesome!
On fission versus fusion, and on points they cannot reach an agreement on, they have agreed to wrestle to see who is right. So, if they don't do this, I'm going to be kicked. We'll have the results of a 15-year study after that on polyamorous families and the children of polyamorous families. This will be presented by Dr. Elizabeth Schaff. First time this research has been presented, so that should be interesting. I know we tend to have a higher than average number of poly folks within the DragonCon community, so they might want to check that out. It's at 8:30, so there may be some topics there that aren't 100% kid-friendly, so we pushed it later in the evening. We've got a little late start, 10:30 Sunday night, a talk called Not Your Granny's Pot, What's Medical About Marijuana. So the pro-pot people will probably object to that, but there's some pretty serious and scary research on the current strains of pot that are going around that have been cultivated selectively for decades now. So this stuff tends to be anywhere from 20 to 50 times stronger than what was going around in the 60s. And at that point, you reach several threshold effects. And you have some pretty it's essentially a different drug. You have some pretty serious physiological effects on the body. Dr. Roberts will also be talking about a lot of the really dangerous synthetics going around that are advertised as synthetic marijuana. They're actually synthetic methamphetamine analogs.
Mm-hmm.
And the computer network I was fixing was for a boys' home and the county program for first-time juvenile drug offenders where I live. And I've done volunteer work for this place before. I've seen firsthand the effects a lot of the synthetics are having on people. And a lot of the law enforcement folks don't even know the stuff is out there until kids start showing up in the emergency rooms, coughing their lungs out with permanent disabilities caused by this stuff. And it's available at gas stations, a lot of it. It's advertised as spice or plant food. Gave it weird names, not for human consumption, printed on it, but they're synthetic meth analogs that have been chemically altered and tweaked a bit, and the side effects are just horrible. And when you take them, especially in your early teens, it impacts your growth and development for the rest of your life. So I'm glad we're doing this talk, and I've been trying to promote it as much as possible. I think it's real science, real important stuff. It's just not out there in a lot of places.
Yeah, and as someone who has unfortunately had a family member who has gotten into the spice, if you will, yeah, thank you for doing that, because I think that people have a misunderstanding that, oh, it's. I mean, we can go on to the debate about pot at some other time, but they think it's as harmless as pot, and whether or not pot is harmless is obviously a topic of one of your discussions. But certainly is definitely more harmful than people would think it is. And the fact that it is easily accessible and legal because the way that our laws are written, as you know, they outlaw chemical compounds. Well, they just tweak the chemical compound a little bit. It's no longer illegal per the law. So, I mean, a lot of places are struggling, especially here in Florida. They've been trying to figure out a way to write the laws so that it just becomes completely illegal without then having some adverse effect of outlawing some drug that helps somebody else for some other thing. So,
yeah. What the lawmakers have done here in Tennessee, and, despite the fact that there's some evolution is just a theory bullshit going through the books now. If you can edit that word out, sorry.
No, you're fine.
In Tennessee, they actually did something pretty smart with the synthetics and the law. And instead of trying to outlaw each chemical compound, they've finally written laws to say chemical compounds which are designed to mimic the effects of these illegal drugs. And that way they can get the bad stuff off the street, but anything that has a similar molecular structure and possibly a similar effect but has legitimate scientific, medical, or industrial uses will not be impacted or affected. So I think that's actually very clever the way that they've done that.
Nice.
And we'll see how well the law is enforced in the coming years.
Nice. All right, cool. So
well, this is awesome. So it sounds like you're going to have a great year and awesome. So cool.
Fingers crossed. Hope so. Got a crack staff, who we've, trained very well. They're the survivors of the previous 10 years. So science fatalities free since 2003. That's our motto this year. And, hopefully we'll be able to continue to use that one. So, notable staffers, I will say, we've got radio legend and subgenius queen, the Reverend Susie the Floozy. She's in charge of our decorations and style, taste, fashion, and is our ambassador to the universe. So, we'll be coordinating with Spacetrack on and off throughout the convention for the liquid nitrogen ice cream. That's always a fan favorite and a visually fun thing to make as well. Great big gouts of steam-looking stuff, just plain old nitrogen. You breathe it constantly, but it's fun to make ice cream and freeze things with it and see what happens. So we'll be playing with that, too, throughout the convention. Plus, we use it to fuel the fusion reactor to cool the magnets.
Nice. Well, let me ask you, where can people find out more information about your track? Are you on the Twitters, the Facebooks, the MySpace?
We've got a Facebook page that my assistant and director, the lovely and talented Charisse, has set up, DragonCon Science Track. Just look for that under Facebook. We've got an older site that we really need to overhaul. I think we're going to turn it into basically a storage site for the recorded talks, madscientist.org.uk. There's not a whole lot current on the website itself, but there is information to our mailing list, which is evil@madscientist, that's one word, .org.uk, and that's where a lot of the pre-convention planning and science talk throughout the year takes place. I understand DragonCon is going to overhaul the website and add some new features in October of this year after the convention, so we're looking forward to having a lot of new, fun, great stuff, current stuff, finally at science.dragoncon.org. There's not a whole lot there in the web sphere, but the email and Facebook stuff are pretty active.
Sweet. That's great. And as always, we'll link to that through the post where this podcast goes up. So if you head over to theuniquegeek.com, you'll be able to see, get to those sites directly. So, all right. Well, Drew, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
I really, really appreciate it. I appreciate the time, and I appreciate you bringing the reality to the science fiction. So that's really cool.
We find it fun as well, and we hope you will too.
And try not to blow anybody up this year, okay?
Yeah, do your best.
Do your best.
Make no promises.
All right. Well, that's the best we can hope from you.
we will endeavor to entertain and provide spectacle for all of our attendees and audience members, and most of them should survive.
Is there a blast radius marked off on the chairs like at SeaWorld?
Well, we've decided for the nuclear reactor this year. Rana Chad, who is our nuclear reactor kid, he's actually a Georgia Tech student now, scholarship.
Of course.
I can be his enormous throbbing brain and hate him at the same time, but yeah, that's the way these things go.
like how you said that, I'm sorry.
We said, well, you know, just being honest. We had a pre-convention meet and greet and eat about a week ago, excuse me, after the last director's meetings, and we came up with a brilliant idea. I mean, we came up with a lot of brilliant ideas. Alcohol was involved. I'll just leave it at that. And Chad's going to bring in a couple of big rolls of aluminum foil, and we're going to tear off sheets and hand them out to the people who are sitting in the rows closest to the nuclear reactor and just say, just wrap this around whatever you value most. That's the reactor right there. We're going to power it up.
Nice. Nice. So, all right.
There's going to be a lot of crazy stuff going on there. I'll say it right now. The Evil Geniuses panel, we've kind of opened it up to Mad Science Fair free-for-all. Anyone who's got anything interesting to bring to show, to demo, do it. There will be some panel discussion, a little structure in part of the room, but because they put us in a big room with a lot of space, we're just going to try to cram as many strange things going on to as many parts of the room at once as possible. And it may be a wonderful success. It may be a huge flop that we never speak of again. That's science. We'll just see how it turns out.
Well, there you go. Well, you know, what could possibly go wrong, right?
What could possibly
nothing.
Go wrong?
Absolutely nothing.
An amateur nuclear reactor built by a 16-year-old out of secondhand eBay junk, and people bringing in strange contraptions to set up around the room, liquid nitrogen flowing everywhere. Pat Henry's having a heart attack by now if he hears this. Yeah. So, it's all safe, Pat. It really is. Really, this is all just show, you know, just flash. We're being entertaining. It's safe. So.
Sweet.
And I'm hoping the fusion versus fission wrestling will qualify him a bit. He will approve of that. We're going to try to get video of that. If they actually show up in the wrestling mask or outfit, hell yeah.
Nice. All right. Well, so for Drew and for Lee, who's working on our perpetual motion machine right now,
it'll never work.
I gotta have a hobby.
She claims she has it working.
You get it working. I'll get you I'll owe you a beer. How about that?
Awesome. There we go.
Until next time. This is John saying peace. Yes.
Thank you all. Appreciate it.
This has been a production of The Unique Geek. To leave a comment or suggestion, call us at 833-210-TUG or email us at thegeeks@theuniquegeek.com. Follow The Geeks on Twitter @TheUniqueGeek. Visit our listserv at listserv.theuniquegeek.com. This podcast is distributed under a Creative Commons Share Alike non-commercial license.